This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Your brothers and sisters in IslamNet from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. This center, this masjid, this educational institution will act like a beacon of light, calling the Muslims in Norway back to the essence of Islam. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Now, let me ask a question. And both of you, this is a question to both of you. Is there an ultimate purpose of life?
Yeah, sure.
What is it?
What we're doing here.
Which is what?
Hopefully trying to make peace.
Is that enough?
We'll see.
Yeah, because
if it's better than the alternative.
What's the alternative?
Hell.
Okay.
Which we're toying with. I don't mean us.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Us too, that's
yeah,
for no, sure. No, but, you know, things are shaky at the moment on many fronts. And we have this opportunity in front of us, all of us, to have a very abundant world, right? Where everyone has enough, mm-hmm. and maybe more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we're shaky about that. We're not sure that that's acceptable. And we're not sure everybody should have it. We're not sure everybody deserves it, and even ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're retreating into our corners in some real sense. And we're not addressing the elephants under the carpet. And
mm-hmm.
you can't do that. Like, the things we're discussing contentiously now,
mm-hmm.
you know, they make for rough conversations, but they make for a lot rougher streets if you don't talk them out. And you have to do that in a spirit of ignorance. You know, like I was hoping to come here today and, well, and listen, I talk a lot. There's my flaw, you know. But I don't know how to feel the right way forward. I think part of it is, well, first of all, to find commonalities. We believe in the fundamental necessity of a uniting book across the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim faiths. That's not nothing.
Okay.
Like, that's a strange thing to insist upon, and yet we all seem to agree. We believe in a higher and purposeful unity, the necessity of that, and then also in the necessity of putting that above all else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we also agree that we're not very good at that.
Okay.
But that's the hardest one to get, is that even if you do claim in some sense to worship the highest
mm-hmm.
in this monotheistic sense, that doesn't mean you're very good at it. And that's a hard pill to swallow, especially when you're trying to also be a courageous knight of your faith, let's say. It's hard to be properly humble in the mm-hmm. face of the divine, but that might be in some sense the proper command. I mean,
yeah.
the fact that Islam means submission is
yeah.
a reflection of that in some sense, right? Just remember
yeah.
who's God here and who isn't. And so, and that's a very hard thing to keep in mind. So when I listen to you,
yeah.
you disagreeable character, I'm trying to separate out the wheat from the chaff,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's no doubt I have many things to learn yeah. as I learned to some degree.
No,
when
and
I
we
put out that
honestly,
message.
I appreciate this part of, like, you know, I learned from your humility, honestly, the way that you come across. And once again, I do appreciate both of you coming here, you know, and I appreciate disagreeability as well. Like, what you've said there is good. I deserve the accountability, just like he does. I don't want to be a person who, you know, who dishes it out, but can't get it himself. I deserve it. What I wanted to say is this to both of you. I want to do a thought experiment, yeah? And so imagine you're going to sleep. I don't know where you guys are staying now, what hotel you're staying. You're watching my videos, you know, me with the masks and stuff like that. Before you go to sleep, subscribe on the channel, whatever you do, yeah? And now you're, after you've, you know, put the dislike and done your negative comments, which I deleted already and put it in the trash, which is what you do as well with tweets, and, you know, we can talk about that later. But after that's all happened and you've gone to sleep, you both go to sleep now, right? You wake up and you find yourselves on a ship. On a ship, yeah? And people are eating food, people are drinking, people are this and that, so things happening. Now, what would be the first questions that you would ask the people around you? Would you ask things like, how did I get here? Where are we going?
Those seem like the first two
yeah,
good those are good questions
good question.
To ask in general. Where are
there
we?
Go.
How did we get here?
And this
and
is
where
what,
are we going?
Beautiful. That's what I wanted to actually get to, because this is what Heidegger, you know, Martin Heidegger, he's a controversial figure in his old right. Okay, but he described this as the thrownness of life.
Yeah.
Because we're chucked into life. We're thrown into life, right? So the fact now that we're in this world, these questions that we would be asking if we were on a ship and we're just chucked on a ship are the same very questions, like you said, you know, that we would be asking if we're on this world, in this world. Where did we come from? Where are we going? I think if we can't get these two questions right, nihilism will persist. You're a nihilistic expert. You've spoken a lot about nihilism. I think if we can't get
He's a counter-nihilistic expert.
I'm not a nihilist. If you want to ask what I think my purpose is, to be united with God. That would be my answer.
Okay, so from the Islamic perspective, it's this, right? First of all, ask these three questions. Where did I come from? Where am I going? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of life? And the answer is, we came from a creator, okay? So we can approach this in whatever argument you like. I'm doing a PhD in contingency argument. You can do anything you want. You can do it, for example, through the fact that the universe is regular and stable and uniform and possesses life. What's the best explanation for that? Is it knowledge or not knowledge? So we say it's knowledge, right? Or as we say, it's a creative capacity of some sort. We came from this creative capacity. We came from this knowledge force, right? So that's the first thing we say. We came from this force, this higher power. Where are we going? We're going back to the higher power, right? And we're going back to the higher power with our deeds, which we have to be responsible for, which is exactly, it's a hallmark of what you stand for. And that's, I believe genuinely, that's why you're asking, why are so many people listening to you? Because we reject original sin. What would you respect? Original sin says that one man, yeah, gave us a sin, the other man took it away. Basically, I mean, we're fallen creatures, and then Jesus, you got to believe in sola fide. You believe in whatever you know about
Christianity. I'm Orthodox, so I don't believe that.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, fine.
I don't believe in original sin the way you described it. But fine.
No worries. Eastern Orthodox, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But the issue is that this...
I didn't say I believed in it either. I just said that the concept of original sin is an expression of this problem that we're describing, which is that we're all burdened with something approximating, well, the thrownness and this ambivalent relationship we have with the atrocity of history. And that's worse, because if you study the atrocity of history with any degree of seriousness, you have to take account of the fact that people like you did it. And you might think, well, I wouldn't do it. It's like, yeah.
No, I get you.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
For sure. I mean, like, you know, you were talking about the kind of, you were talking about the suffering. And what, obviously one of the major sufferings is the Holocaust. I was reading the book, The Meaning for Life, Viktor Frankl, I'm sure you're aware of it, where he then produced logotherapy and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what Nietzsche said. You know, if you have a why, almost any how is possible. Mm-hmm. You know?
Bearable.
Yeah, if you have a why, almost any how is possible. So it goes back to, everything goes back to purpose. Logotherapy. Yeah, just, if you have a purpose, then everything is possible. That's why I think that you can do the best as a human species, yeah, in the human condition, if your purpose is transcendental. It's higher than the physical, the material. And for us, the purpose is mentioned in chapter 51, verse 19 of the Quran, which is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created human beings and jinn, except for that they may worship me. What is worship? It's the epitome, the higher point of submission. It's the epitome of love as well.
Jonathan has an interesting take on that too, that has to do with celebration, which I think is psychologically appropriate. Do you want to... I don't want to put you on the spot, but it's something I've been struggling to understand more. I've attended some Orthodox ceremonies with Jonathan and also on my own, and he's very perspicacious when it comes to describing the role of both worship and ritual, and so there's an element. Anyways, I'll let you continue with that.
No, I agree. I agree that worship is also the manner in which we bind together, right? And so without something we celebrate together, then we don't. And so we have different levels of what we celebrate. You know, we can celebrate in our families, the things that bind us, but ultimately that has to reach all the way up into something which is beyond.
I think that's actually very powerful, you know. And in fact, the very first lines of the Quran is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, which is all praise and thanks belong to God, Lord of the worlds. All praise and all thanks. And this is a kind of celebration.